Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Detroit, once the nation's fourth largest populated city, now 18th, and finally a solution to its dwindling population, more immigrants. Governor Snyder this week outlining his vision to repopulate the Motor City. To discuss the plan and to find out about the issues immigrants currently face in Detroit, I'm joined by Ryan Bates, the director of the Alliance for Immigrants' Rights and Reform of Michigan. Thank you for joining me, Ryan.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, an influx of immigrants into the Motor City, do you see that as a plausible way to turn things around in Detroit?
Well, it's certainly a really important strategy. If you've ever been down to Detroit, you'll see Southwest Detroit, sometimes called Mexican Town, is one of the most vital areas of the city, where immigrants coming all from all over Mexico, Latin, Central America, are literally rebuilding the city house by house, block by block, and creating a really thriving neighborhood like a lot of other places in the city used to be 50 years ago when we had 2 million people. And it's that sort of grassroots economic development that we see a lot of potential for in Detroit. Folks coming, starting small businesses, employing their neighbors, reinvesting in the community. That's the sort of power that a pro-immigrant agenda can have in Michigan. Even just down the street in Dearborn, we have one of the nation's largest Arab American population. And there, you'll see a major difference in the east end of Dearborn, which is thriving. There's a great walkable retail district. People are moving into town when compared to some other inner-ring suburbs that are struggling to retain population, that are struggling to keep kids in schools, mm-hmm. that are struggling to get folks to open up businesses. Immigration definitely has to be part of the solution.
And what about city residents? Would they generally be supportive, do you think, of the idea of having a large number of new neighbors from foreign countries moving into the city? And or is there likely to be some friction in the community?
Well, I certainly can't speak for every resident of the city of Detroit, but I think you have to have a dialogue between communities. Anytime new neighbors move in, there are always going to be misunderstandings or issues that need to be talked out. But I think the most important thing is to focus on the mutual benefit that newcomers to Detroit can offer to the city's current residents. It's really important that we don't look at this as a win-lose proposition, where if you give something to immigrants, you're taking it away from the people who are already here. Quite to the contrary, when immigrant communities move into cities like Boston, Pittsburgh, and New York, it actually creates a rising tide that lifts all boats. At the panel in Detroit on Monday, Councilman Cockrell said something I think that expresses a sentiment of a lot of folks in the city. He doesn't care who moves into the abandoned house next to him as long as someone moves in and takes care of it. So I think when folks start to see those houses rebuilt, start to see businesses reopen, a lot of misunderstandings or tension will melt away.
Your group, along with others in the Detroit area, are accusing Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, otherwise known as ICE, of racial profiling and violating the rights of immigrants now in the city, an issue that the department has said it will investigate. Where does that issue stand at this point?
Sure. Our campaign was sparked when half a dozen immigration agents surrounded an elementary school in Southwest Detroit and began detaining parents right outside the school after they dropped their children off in the morning, throwing the community into panic and really putting in jeopardy young children, most of whom are U.S. citizens. And we found this just a completely unacceptable way to do immigration enforcement. We demanded that someone be held accountable. ICE has rules that says you can't do this kind of thing. ICE promised us an investigation and that they would meet with us in 30 days to reveal the results. And so far, they haven't released those results. We'll be meeting with them again shortly to get a report on the progress of that investigation. But to our knowledge, no investigation has ever been completed and no one's been held accountable. So hopefully we'll be getting some results soon, and the folks who are responsible for breaking ICE's own policy, terrorizing children, will have some consequences.
I'm talking to Ryan Bates, the director of the Alliance for Immigrants' Rights and Reform of Michigan. And we're talking about the proposal to bring a lot more immigrants into Detroit to help repopulate the city. You know, in light of what you've just told me about the harassment immigrants are now facing, is Detroit a particularly welcoming city at this time to immigrants?
Well, I'll tell you, when the lead story on Univision or Telemundo, Spanish language news networks about Detroit, is immigration agents surround elementary school, it sure doesn't paint a flattering picture. There are a lot of things the city could do to become more welcoming. One, by investing in bilingual education, by making sure the social services that families need are available. And three, by making sure that the civil rights of immigrant families and communities are respected. There's a lot local leadership can do to stand up and make it clear to the federal authorities that these issues are important for the city's economic development, and that goes hand in hand with the development of robust respect for the civil rights of all the residents of the city of Detroit.
While bringing in more immigrants would likely boost the economy in the long term, wouldn't there be some initial costs in setting up programs to provide initial housing and social services for these new residents? And where would that money come from?
If you look at what's happening in Southwest Detroit, for instance, right now, it's being redeveloped without public money. Folks are working hard and reinvesting that money in their communities. So we're not looking at large startup costs. And in fact, this is something that Governor Snyder pointed out at Monday's conference. Immigration is an important strategy because it doesn't cost a lot of money. When talented, driven people come to the United States to realize their American dream, they're putting in the sweat equity to build up their community. So both long and short term, immigration is a winning economic strategy.
When we talk about jobs and immigrants that may often just be learning to speak English, what kind of employment opportunities would they likely have in Detroit?
Well, it depends who you're talking about. A lot of immigrants end up starting their own small businesses, which is a great driver of employment and investment. A lot of folks come with skills that we desperately need, for example, nursing, high-tech, engineering, computer sciences, and business degrees. These are all skills that Michigan needs to be competitive in the global economy. And the reality is that the companies that are driving the global economy, they're going to go where the best talent is. And they don't care whether it's in Michigan and Ohio or Canada or Japan. So the only way we're going to be competitive is by making sure that the smartest, best motivated folks can come here and stay here, and that companies who come here can bring their talent. So it's very diverse, and you'll find that folks do both high-skill work, but also work in fields that have traditionally been staffed by immigrant workers, farm labor, food processing, the service industry, all very important aspects of our economy.
Ryan Bates, Director of the Alliance for Immigrants' Rights and Reform of Michigan. Thank you for joining me, Ryan.
Thanks so much for the time.
And we'll be back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.